Now, how then does that apply to us? What can we learn from Mark 13, 32, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father? Well, let's go then to the application. We started with the question, does he know? Does Jesus really know what is going on in my life? And the answer is yes, he does. In his birth, Jesus took on the nature of a man, and that nature had certain limits, just like your nature has certain limits. This past week, while Mary and I were gone, for the 10th year, we had all of our grandchildren with us in what we call Cousins Camp. Now, we missed last year because of COVID, so we've done it 9 times in 10 years. And we went up to Ricketts Glen State Park, which is, I think, one of the premier parks in this part of our state. And we rented a cabin. And we had all 5 of our grandkids there. And if you're not familiar with Ricketts Glen, on the property, there are 21 waterfalls ranging from 11 feet to 94 feet. And you can take the Falls Trail, which sort of makes a U like this, and you can see all 21 of those trails. I have done it. I will never do it again. It is 7.2 miles. A couple of years ago, my son-in-law was with me there, and we were just there for the day, and we had spent the day at their beautiful beach there and had a good time, and I said, Ken, I want to see the waterfalls. He said, I want to go with you, and we took off, the two of us. We just about ran the 7 miles to get back in time for us all to leave. It was difficult, especially when you start at this end. And just before you get to this end, you come to a 94-foot waterfall that you have to go up the mountain like this. Let me give you a recommendation. If you ever decide to do it, start at this end and go down and back. It's much easier. We decided we'd take our grandkids to see some of the waterfalls. And there is one waterfall that you can actually walk behind. And I promised my grandkids that we would go to that waterfall. Now, when you tell a 7-year-old that you're going to do something, you better do it. And then I found out that it was 3.5 miles to get to that waterfall, and I knew he could make it 3.5 miles down and 3.5 miles back. So I went to plan B. I was brilliant. I said, listen, I can't take you to that waterfall because it's way too far, but I can take you to the tallest waterfall in the park. He thought that was a good trade-off. So we took off on our hike. And we left our cabin and went to that waterfall. And we came into the top of it, and we stood at the top, and we watched the rushing cold water. And it was, they had rain, the river was full, and it just went crashing over almost 100 feet to the bottom. It was a magnificent sight. The problem was that when we left the cabin, I took the wrong trail. And instead of getting to the trail down to those 3 waterfalls, that this was the, I think, either the 3rd or the 4th one, I could have taken a trail that was 1 mile. I took the trail that was 2 miles and much harder with a group of children from the age of 7 to 15, 16. The total hike was about 4 miles, but it was over some pretty difficult terrain. And when we got back to our cabin, we were tired, we were sore, we weren't used to things like that, especially on mountainous trails. Some of our group didn't think they could take another step. You see, we had certain limits on our physical strength. Jesus, in his humanity, had those same limitations. He fell asleep in a boat because he was tired. He ate because he was hungry. He grieved at the death of his friend Lazarus because he was emotionally spent. And there were things that he did not know in his humanity because of his human limitations. But that was when he was here on earth. And that all changed. One spectacular morning. We call it the resurrection. At the resurrection, everything changed for Jesus. Do you remember what the Apostle Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? He said that our bodies will be buried in corruption, that is, we die, we get sick, we die. They will be raised in incorruption. They will be buried in weakness. They will be raised in power. They will be buried a natural body. They will be raised a spiritual body. He tells us in that 1 Corinthians passage that in this life, we have been born with the image of Adam, the man of dust. In the resurrection, we will bear the image of Jesus, the heavenly man. You see, the resurrection will change everything for us. Where's my Jamaican amen on that? Thank you, David. So great to see David and Wynn and Brandy and the family back from a month in Jamaica. And it was so neat that David could go there and spend that time with his mother. And they're just back and glad to see them. You see, the resurrection will change everything. And that was true of Jesus. In this life, he had a human nature with certain limitations. In the resurrection, he gained a new body that is without limitations. So while he was here on earth, there were certain things that Jesus did not know in his human nature, like the time of his second coming. But today, he has perfect knowledge. He knows the time of his coming, even though he still has both a divine nature and a human nature, because now his human nature is perfect. So he knows. He knows today the hardships that you are going through. He knows today the sadness of your hearts. He knows today the pain you carry. He knows today the obstacles that you face. There isn't anything about you that he doesn't know. There isn't anything going on in your life that he doesn't know. That's why the writer of Hebrews encourages us in Hebrews chapter 4, we do not have a high priest, speaking of Jesus, who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted or tried in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us therefore approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You can come to Jesus today with all of your problems, with all of your fears, with all of your pain, with all of your suffering, because he knows. He knows, first of all, because he's been there, the writer of Hebrews tells us. He's experienced sorrow. He's experienced suffering. He's experienced hatred. He's experienced people gossiping about him. He's experienced people lying about him. He's experienced rejection. He's experienced cruelty. He's experienced anger against him. But you can also come to Jesus because he knows. Not only does he know in his divine nature, but he knows what you're going through in his perfect human nature. You see, there will never be another time when Jesus will say, "No one knows, not even the Son." When I was just a little guy, my parents bought this amazing instrument and brought it into our house. It was something that I had never seen. We had never had anything like this in our house. And even though it had been first discovered some 80 years before that, it really wasn't until about the 1960s that families began to bring these things into their homes. And it was called the phonograph, or for you folks, the record player, or for you really young folks, it was before cassettes. What do young people have today? The apps, the telephones, before cassettes, before 8-tracks. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And we'd take these vinyl discs, and we'd put them on, and we'd take a little arm and put it over, and it would begin to spin, and music would begin to come out. And I thought that was the most amazing thing. This thing was, the early ones, about the size of a suitcase. It was heavy. And my parents began to buy Christian albums for us to listen to. And as I got older and I first started cutting lawns for the neighbors, and I had a little bit of money every once in a while, I would buy an album that I wanted to listen to, and I would put it on the record player and listen to them. And one of the records that they played on our record player was written in 1901. It was a song called "Does Jesus Care?" And the first verse goes like this: "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long?" And the chorus says, "Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." And He cares because He knows. Don't let the statement in Mark 13:32 cause you to wonder about Jesus. He knows you can count on it. And I want to encourage you today to take whatever it is that is weighing you down, that is bothering your mind, that is causing you distress and stress, and I want you to take it to Jesus. Would you do that this morning? Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful today that You know. That You know what's going on in our lives. That You know the troubles we face, the anxiety, the stress, the difficulties. And You have encouraged us to bring them to You at the throne of grace. Because at one time You may not have known the time of Your coming in Your humanity. Today, in perfect humanity, You know. And we're thankful that we have a God who knows. Lord, for whatever is weighing people down today, for whatever is causing them anxiety and stress and sadness, for whatever is causing them, Lord, to focus on their pain and their suffering and their problems instead of on Jesus, my prayer is that You would take that out of their hearts and out of their minds and allow them, Lord, to focus on Jesus. Because, as the song says, He cares. He cares because He knows. Thank You, Father. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. A couple of announcements that we want to share with the church family. Don't forget ladies' Bible study every Monday at 10 o'clock. Ladies downstairs in the fellowship hall. And then worship team, you're back on your practice schedule Monday night at 6:30.